It's the Painless Living Show with host and pain treatment expert, Dr. Cassaro, and co-host, Dennis Birkmeyer. If you or someone you love suffers from chronic pain, get answers here. Call now, 888-440-4442. That's 888-440-4442. Or visit us online, painlesslivingradio.com.
And good morning.
Good morning to you.
Doctor. How are you, sir?
Doing fine, thank you. Beautiful morning it is.
It is that indeed. I know the only pain I have suffered in the past is the pain of the post-vacation shave.
Oh.
But other than that, we've all been feeling fine here.
Well, that's pain that's just part of the small price to pay. It's kind of like buying your ticket, right?
Exactly. Exactly. You knew it was dangerous when you took it. So there you go. It's a fun time. But one of the topics we'd like to discuss today on the show is diabetes and its direct connection to both immediately caused pain and its ability to affect other types of pain that may already be suffering. One of the things that scared me, I was reading a report, morbidity and mortality report. I read it.
Yeah, just casual reading.
Light reading there.
While you're on vacation, no doubt.
There was at least a 100% increase in the prevalence of diagnosed diabetes in the United States. That's frightening.
Yeah, that's just recently, because if you go back, say, a century, it's more like about 500 or 600%.
Yeah.
It's increasing, and the rate at which it's increasing is going up. And from a pain standpoint, diabetes itself doesn't cause much pain. In fact, diabetes is painless, which is one of the reasons that it's gotten to be so popular, I guess. But the trouble is that all of the other complications from diabetes can cause a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. So people with diabetes get pains that other people don't get. Plus, they can get any kind of pain that anyone else can get, except that it's usually worse.
Right.
For the person who has diabetes.
Exactly. If this is a topic that's striking a chord with you, you may want to participate today directly. You can always give us a call during the show, toll free at 888-440-4442. Or you can also get through to Dr. Cassaro directly through the website at painlesslivingradio.com. And we have an email I'd like to put out on the table
Here
this morning already here. It says, Doctor, I have had type 2 diabetes for over 20 years. My hands and feet are pretty numb. Otherwise, I'm not having much problem. My fasting sugar is almost always under 150. Well, about 3 months ago, I started getting burning and electrical shocks into my right big toe and ankle. I have also an aching pain in my right hip. My doctor says this is my diabetic neuropathy getting worse, and he started me on new medicine. It doesn't work, but I have gained 10 pounds since I started it. Wouldn't diabetic neuropathy be in both feet? And how can I find out if this is something else?
Well, I'd say this person who wrote this is pretty astute, because he's right. Mm-hmm. If it really was diabetic neuropathy, it probably would be the same in both feet. Now, after I've said that, I'll hedge on it a little bit. It's not uncommon for one side to be slightly worse than the other. Mm-hmm. So a new symptom might start on one side a little bit before it starts on the other.
Okay.
And 3 months might not be enough time to really distinguish if this is something that's going to end up symmetrical or if it really is something that's just on one side. But in all likelihood, it's this person's body. This person knows pretty well and probably has a good idea because of the way he asked the question, that this doesn't seem like the diabetic neuropathy to him.
Right.
So I think he's probably right. And that goes to the point that I made at the beginning, that people who have diabetes can get the same kind of problems that anybody else can get. Unfortunately, a lot of times what happens is someone will come in with a new complaint, and they've got a pre-existing diagnosis of diabetes, and the easiest thing to do is just to assume, oh, this is just from the diabetes.
Right.
And you just throw a diabetes treatment at it. Well, he did name the medicine in the email that I changed that, but that medicine is notorious for causing weight gain. And that's the last thing you want if you've got type 2 diabetes that's fairly easy to manage. I mean, he's keeping his fasting blood sugars down, doing a pretty good job of that. And you put 10 pounds on, and that's going to be harder to do. The diabetes will be more difficult to control, and the diabetic complications will probably get worse. So I advise that he talk to his doctor about stopping that medication right away. Make sure the doctor knows that he's gained 10 pounds and that nothing else has changed except that medicine.
Yeah,
that's real important, because for that particular type of medicine, the 10 pounds goes on a whole lot easier than it comes back off.
That's life.
Well, it's life in spades with that medicine, because you can't just knuckle down and go on a good rigorous diet for a few weeks and drop your 10 pounds that you put on very quickly in a few weeks. It's usually takes a lot longer than that, and it's a lot harder because it's put on by a different mechanism than just overeating.
And also, if you adhere to the diabetes diet to begin with, then there's not a whole lot extra you can do to lose weight, is there?
Good point. Well, there is, but, you know, that's a good point. You're already making significant lifestyle adjustments from what the lifestyle probably was that got you the diabetes.
Right.
And then to have to go on and modify that even more strict is sometimes a lot easier said than done.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So if the medicine was working, maybe we'd be giving a different answer and a different discussion for this. But he made it pretty clear in just plain words, the medicine's not working.
Yeah.
The number one reason why someone has a poor response to what should be appropriate treatment is because of an incorrect diagnosis.
Okay.
And I think, partly because he thinks, but I think that this is an incorrect diagnosis. Yes, he does have diabetes, and he does have diabetic neuropathy, but he could also get other things that could cause pain in the big toe and ankle and aching pain in the hip. And the top of that list would be sciatica.
Okay.
And there's nowhere written in the diabetes rule book that people with diabetes can't get sciatica. Totally unrelated to their diabetes.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's probably happened here. And he just needs to get appropriate examination, including x-rays, to look for the cause of sciatica. And he probably will come up with something that can be treated and get rid of that extra pain, that new pain for the last 3 months.
How do you convince, or I guess maybe convince is too strong a word, because a lot of us are intimidated by the people in the medical profession. That's why I'm sitting this far away from you at the table, doctor, okay? but should I go in?
I can get a bat. You know, they've got a big bat company.
Yeah, maybe you've heard of it. But if I go into to my physician, and he says, this is what it is, and even if the treatment he gives me is not working, as is in the case with this email, how would you counsel someone to approach that subject with their physician?
Okay. First, let me say, I don't know this person, and I don't know the physician.
Right.
I've never met either one of them, which makes any recommendation that I give here kind of theoretical.
Well, exactly. Well, we need a generic, because it
generally
does happen
speaking,
at times.
These days, for people that don't keep up with the complaints coming from the medical world, doctors are under tremendous pressure to generate paper, or in these days, it's electronic records. In fact, the main thing they get paid for is all the check boxes. They really are not getting paid for seeing the patient. He's just the excuse for filling out the checkboxes. So once you understand that dynamic, you have to go in there ready to, let's not say control the argument, but ready to steer the encounter, steer the conversation exactly where you want it to go as the patient.
Okay.
So don't go in there and exchange a few pleasantries and then let the doctor pick up and say, well, what's bothering you now? Say, oh, my toe. And then he jumps right on that. a better way to approach that, especially since he's obviously already been to the doctor and already had one failed treatment, is when he goes back to the doctor, say, look, doctor, I don't think this is diabetic neuropathy. This is what my symptoms are. The medicine you gave me didn't work, and it made me gain 10 pounds. And kind of take control, get the gist of the conversation out there right at the beginning, so that those will be the things that get addressed in that short period of time that regulators are making shorter and shorter.
Right.
On the other hand, what happens a lot of times, I experience it right here in my office, is I think we've covered everything that needs to be covered, get ready to say goodbye and leave the room, and then I hear, oh, one more thing, doctor. You know, that can go over okay sometimes, but a lot of times, especially if you have a doctor in a busy practice,
right,
with the rooms full, the waiting room full, and the bean counter cracking a whip on his back,
right,
that's not going to go over too well. You kind of get the bum's rush,
and
told to come back, you know, in 6 months.
Which all adds up to a great argument for this radio show and your website, because you can approach your physician armed with knowledge and not be intimidated, because you really have no idea what's going on. If you pay attention here and talk to you at 888-440-4442, you have a much higher degree of comfort level talking to the physician.
Well, that's why we're here. That's why we do this show.
That's it.
In my office, I can only see one person at a time.
Right.
On the radio here, hopefully, there's a whole lot more people that can benefit from good information and recommendations.
Right. And one more time, 888-440-4442.
And we are here for almost an hour now, the next hour, to take your calls at that number, 888-440-4442, and give you specific information about your pain problem. And even though we're talking today about diabetes, if you've got another pain problem, or if someone you love has a pain problem, like chronic headaches or back pain or something like that, feel free to give us a call, and we'll try to give you specific information about self-help techniques that you can begin as early as today, or guide you where to find maybe more specific professional help than what you might be getting right now.
You know, one of the statements you made earlier in the show was that diabetes, while it's not painful in and of itself, it has a tendency to affect, maybe even exacerbate, some other conditions that you may have. What about arthritis? If you're also suffering from arthritis, is your arthritis pain going to be affected by diabetes?
That's probably the top of the list for things that diabetes makes worse more than anything else. The answer is yes. People with diabetes get arthritis just like anybody else can get arthritis. But that person with diabetes is much more likely to have excruciating pain, crippling pain, maybe go to a joint replacement at a younger age.
Wow.
All kinds of complications that come from diabetes in combination with things like arthritis or neuritis or any other inflammatory pain problem, that's what diabetes is going to exacerbate the most. But it can affect anything, even if inflammation isn't part of the pain source, the pain generation. It can still, it's very likely that the pain will be worse in somebody that has diabetes than it would be if that same pain problem existed in somebody that didn't have diabetes.
Is it the existence of the diabetes that does it, or is it a level of how you, I mean, if you treat the diabetes, get it under control, will the arthritic pain also subside, or are they really not working in concert with each other?
Well, the quick answer to that is yes, but we'll probably discuss that more when we come back from the break.
We can do that.
Because that's a lot more complicated than just saying, yeah, control your diabetes and your pain gets better.
888-440-4442. We have some open lines. Jump on in. We'd love to have a conversation with you this morning here on Famous Living Show. Back after the break. We'll be right back.
To learn more about the topics or products mentioned on the program, visit our website, painlessliving.com.
And we are here for you at 888-440-4442. The topic this morning from our side of the table is diabetes and how it affects other situations that may be causing you pain and may worsen that pain for you. But if there's anything in particular that you'd like to discuss with Dr. Cassaro on a pain level, give us a call. 888-440-4442. We don't really dictate to you what you need to talk to us about.
That's right. Whatever hurts, your call is welcome.
That's right.
And it doesn't have to be anything to do with diabetes, but this is your opportunity on a Saturday morning to talk to a professional with no waiting room, no co-payment. You don't even need your insurance card at all. And get treatment help that you can start using today.
Just before the break, we brought up the topic of how diabetes affects arthritis pain. And you said it was a complicated answer, so we have time now so we can delve a little more deeply into it.
Okay. First of all, the quick answer was yes. If you take better care of yourself and keep the diabetes under better control, you will probably have less problem with the arthritis or other painful condition than you would if the diabetes was poorly controlled.
Mm-hmm.
But where it gets a little bit more complicated is the way we define diabetes is a problem with elevated blood sugar. But what really causes the trouble with pain and the other complications like the heart trouble, the kidney problems, the eye problems, all that isn't the sugar so much as it is insulin.
Okay.
So the insulin causes the complications, but the sugar is how we define good control of diabetes. The problem is that there's really no magic way to bring down insulin levels. The only way to bring down insulin levels is to bring down insulin need. And okay. That comes through things like diet, exercise, and sleep. So it gets to be a little bit different from just controlling your fasting blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
It means that you also have to control the things that stimulate insulin secretion. So the things that tend to be at the top of that list, of course, sugar.
Right.
But then behind that is starches, particularly grain starches. Wheat, corn, rice, barley, oats, and rye, which would be your bread, cereal, and pasta.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of times people with diabetes are told that they should eat those things as sources of slow released carbohydrates, mm-hmm. as opposed to sugar, which is fast released.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that may work okay for keeping blood sugar under control, keeping that from going way up, but that really raises your insulin levels a lot, and that's what causes the pain.
Wow.
So if we're going to get people with diabetes to try to control their pain, what they need to do is also eliminate those things from their diet. The bread, cereal, pasta, mm-hmm. crackers, pretzels, stuff like that. And also, to an extent, milk products, because milk tends to increase insulin levels also.
Right.
So as those things get reduced and insulin levels slowly come down, then you end up getting the benefit that you were talking about with the decreased pain from arthritis,
gotcha.
Decreased blood pressure, decreased other diabetic complications.
Other stuff. I have an off-the-wall question, but I'm sure I'm not the only one who's thinking it. So forgive me if it's totally out there. But is it at all possible that if you have a situation like an arthritis or some situation existing that is causing you pain, and your pain is increasing, and you find that people are treating the increases in pain, could it be because of an undiagnosed diabetes situation?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, it could. That happens here in my office frequently, where I become the first person to diagnose, the first doctor to diagnose somebody with a new onset of diabetes.
Mm.
And it could be because their pain, maybe they've had off and on back pain, just kind of a nagging backache, maybe after a weekend warrior type activities, things like
right.
that. It's been going on for 15 or 20 years, but never really anything that needed to be treated or go to the doctor for. And now all of a sudden that pain isn't going away.
Yeah.
As they're returning to normal activity during the week, and it's requiring medications, maybe over-the-counter medications, and it's starting to interfere with ability to do things, and people go to the doctor. Well, chances are whatever's causing that backache hasn't changed. What's changed is something inside the metabolism that makes the person more prone to inflammation or has increased nerve irritability, mm-hmm. and that's why the pain goes up. Mm-hmm. So the trick is then to find what might have changed, and one of the most common things that's discovered is diabetes. And right. probably the second most common thing is thyroid disease. Wow. So there's a lot of metabolic problems that can cause pain.
So you don't have to be afraid of asking an off-the-wall question on this program, because you'll find out probably it's not that off-the-wall to begin with. I feel good now. So get to the phone at 888-440-4442 and ask Dr. Cursaro the question that you may be a little timid to ask, thinking, oh, it's maybe a stupid question. There are none.
That's right. The only stupid question is the question that you don't ask.
Exactly.
Right, especially exactly. if it means you go on suffering for another week.
Yeah, you know, in the research for the show today, I've discovered that the diabetes and the pain and things can lead to problems or exacerbate, again, problems that you already have with gastrointestinal situations, irritable bowel syndrome, things like that, upper GI systems.
Usually for pain problems like that, we talk about those in our abdominal pain show, but people with diabetes have far and away greater incidence of those type problems than people that don't have diabetes. And some of it is a direct cause of the diabetes, but most of it is the same things that cause you to develop diabetes or what cause you to develop digestive problems.
Okay.
So once again, we're talking about eat right, sleep right, and exercise right. And in the case of a lot of those digestive problems, it's got to do with not eating right.
Yeah.
So if you eat things that are, for the most part, we'll lump it together and call it factory food instead of farm food, then you're more likely to develop chronic digestive problems and you're more likely to develop diabetes.
Is this something inherent to the United States with our lifestyle? You don't seem to see, maybe it's the farm food versus the factory food that is probably the largest contributor to this. But you just don't seem to see the Italians, for example, whose diets consist primarily of pasta, or pasta is a staple in their diet, and they don't seem to be suffering the same bad results from it as do we here in the States.
Well, as you point out, and most of our listeners who have traveled internationally have probably observed, as you travel internationally, for the most part, the only fat people you see are other Americans. And it's very obvious when you notice that you go overseas. And another thing that you notice is that the only people you see wearing glasses mm-hmm. are other Americans. And there's a variety of other things that do seem to be much more prevalent in the United States than other areas. And a lot of it has to do with just differences in government regulations. And I'm not going to go any further into it than that on this show.
We'll stop right there.
Leave it to let's just leave it with, in this country, because of less control on what can be marketed legally and mm-hmm. sold to people legally, individuals have to take a greater level of vigilance about what they put into their body, onto their body, and what type of lifestyle right. they pursue in general.
So then basically you'd say that walking to the farmer's market would be a good idea for eating for Americans. And
well, you say that kind of tongue-in-cheek, and I'm going to say yes, but walking, actually, for people that have traveled to Europe, you pointed out the Italians, mm-hmm. they walk everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
And the exercise does not have to be strenuous. It just has to be regular, and it makes for a whole different condition in your body.
Yeah.
So even if you've already got diabetes, if you get out and take a walk every day, your diabetes is going to be a whole lot easier to control, and you're going to have a whole lot fewer problems with things like painful arthritis than if you sit on the couch all day.
Right.
Or ride a desk at work and then the couch at home.
Right. I have, in fact, just came back from visiting my father, who's 88 and has diabetes and has some problems walking, primarily because he's 88. But he uses a cane, and he walks every day without fail. And it's
well,
it's
that's going to keep him going.
It is.
Yeah, that'll keep him going.
It is. 888-440-4442 is the number here. Get directly in. Have a conversation with Dr. Cassaro about whatever kind of pain you may be experiencing at the moment. And what would you suggest immediately a trip to a physician, or are there over-the-counter or homeopathic or home-type medicines that or techniques that you can do to alleviate pains that you know are being exacerbated by your diabetes?
Well, if you have any chronic pain problem and you have diabetes, number one is to take care of your diabetes, which is, for the most part, lifestyle. It's your diet, your exercise level, and getting good sleep. And then the other thing is, whether you see a doctor or not, I think it's probably a good idea to get some professional advice on there. But since most of this is stuff that you do for yourself through your own willpower and fortitude, all the doctor can do really is coach you on that. But he can help you through serious pain problems. And we'll talk more about that after the break.
Professional advice available to you right now at 888-440-4442. We will be here through the break. Come back with us.
It's the Painless Living Show. To be part of the program, call now. 1-888-440-4442.
To reiterate, 888-440-4442, and I believe someone has jumped on in.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we do have a caller on the line yet, but I think they're still talking with the call screener. I don't have the information yet, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Excuse me, I jumped the gun. I won't do that again. The topic of consideration and conversation on the show today, of course, from our end, is diabetes and how it affects the pain. However, you're more than welcome to jump in and talk to Dr. Cassaro about any particular pain situation you may be suffering from at the moment. So, again, the number is 888-440-4442. And we were talking during the break that so much of the maladies that are affecting people these days are almost a direct result of diet. That's frightening.
Yeah, it's back to the farm food versus factory food.
Yeah. Wow.
For people that follow me on Twitter at Painless Living on Twitter, there's a tweet that I put out there periodically that says, pay the farmer or pay the doctor. It's your choice. The farmer gets better results and costs a lot less.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Wow. Just the idea of it, I think it takes a while to sink into people, because it's so much easier to open up the box, pop something into the microwave, than you know, actually go and purchase and choose and clean and cook correctly.
We're going to go to the phone line now. This is Bobby calling from Monroe, Louisiana. Bobby, you're on the air at the Painless Living Show. How can I help you today?
Well, as I was telling your screener.
Okay.
I have almost zero balance. My legs are weak. I have drop foot. It's a condition that's been ongoing for several years, and it's gradually gotten worse over the years. I am not a diabetic. I have no pain. I have some numbness in my lower legs. And I've been to many neurologists over the years, and nobody has ever been able to tell me what my problem is. They all ask me if I'm a diabetic, every one of them, without exception.
Well, because the things that you describe are most common in people with diabetes, but probably the second most common thing to cause that would be spinal stenosis. Has anybody taken x-rays of your back or your neck?
Many.
Okay. Many. And did they find anything there that could cause...
It's just about 50-50. Every orthopedic doctor I go to, with the exception of one, says that I might have some spinal stenosis. Every neurologist I go to thinks I got some sort of a nerve problem, like autoimmune.
Well, it could be both, but what you said about losing your balance and about having the drop foot, I doubt that that's directly from an autoimmune condition. You may also...
Well, I have zero balance. I have to walk with two canes.
Yeah, that sounds to me like spinal stenosis. I'd suspect that you've got spinal stenosis bad enough, probably in your neck, to where it's causing spinal cord compression. And
well, should I have some pain associated? I have no pain in my back, my neck, my lower legs, nowhere. I never had any pain associated with this condition that I know about.
Yeah, you don't necessarily have to have pain from spinal stenosis. A lot of people do, but it all depends on which nerve fibers are being irritated. If motor nerve fibers are being irritated, then you get weakness. If sensory nerve fibers are being irritated, you get pain. Now, if there's compression, when motor nerves are compressed, you get even more weakness or loss of balance or loss of other type functions. When sensory nerves are compressed, you get numbness, loss of sensation, but you might not get pain.
And how could I determine exactly where this is in my body? If it's, and you said it could be in my neck or in my lower back.
Well, there's
how could I determine that?
There's two main ways to test. One is with imaging using MRIs. You said you've already had that. The other is with nerve testing, and it's a combination of three tests. One is a nerve conduction velocity test. The other is an EMG, or electromyogram. And the third, and probably the most important for determining if you have spinal stenosis, is called somatosensory evoked potential testing, or it's just SSEP, or sometimes just called evoked potentials. And that's those three tests combined do a pretty good job of not just telling what things look like the MRI does, but telling how things work. And a lot of times that's more important, is to know how it works. Because if you can detect where the function falls off, then you can determine whether the problem is in the low back or it's in the neck or if it's somewhere else.
Good job. Pursue treatment for a neurosurgeon?
I'd say a neurosurgeon would be an appropriate person to see, yes.
Do you have any recommendations of a good neurosurgeon?
Well, let's see, you're in Monroe, Louisiana?
I am.
Yeah,
I
don't know of any specific surgeons in Monroe, but if you send me an email, use the contact form on our website at painlessliving.com. I'll see what I can do to come up with some names for you. Now, I'm just going to find them from a directory. I won't have any personal knowledge of their practice.
Okay. But you think that would be the best avenue for me to pursue is surgery, not any kind of treatment for autoimmune disease.
I don't know that you necessarily need surgery, but I'd say that a neurosurgeon would be the better one to determine if you have spinal stenosis as the cause of this problem. Now, autoimmunity, you could have that, but the difference with autoimmunity is that you usually don't have focal symptoms like you have. Autoimmunity tends to be more widespread effect.
Well, last neurologist I went to was Sim Murphy in Memphis, and he suggested that the autoimmune problem, and he suggested there was something about my body that was attacking the coating on my nerves going to my lower legs and degrading the impulses is what was causing my problem.
Okay, now I am familiar with the Sims Murphy Clinic in Memphis, and I do know many doctors there. And if you go back there, ask them to do the nerve testing, because that'll...
They did extensive nerve testing while I was there. They did all of the tests that you suggested.
Okay, and that nerve testing is what showed the autoimmune condition?
That's what they said. I also saw an orthopedic surgeon at the time, and he did an MRI, and he said he saw no indication of spinal stenosis.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood. I thought that you said half the people said you had it and half didn't.
Well,
okay.
They did. I bet you I've been to a dozen. I've been to Oshkosh. I've been to the Mississippi State and Jackson, and I get about 50-50.
Okay. If
that's the reason I'm so confused.
Well, I'm very familiar with the Sims Murphy Clinic. And if they made the diagnosis that it's an autoimmune condition affecting your nerves, then right now, just from the conversation we've had on the phone, I put a lot of faith in that being correct. So if it's an autoimmune condition, once again, you're back to you have to do things to help make your immune system work more effectively. And that, for the most part, is from lifestyle, not from medications.
Yes.
Did they tell you about watching the things that you eat?
Yes. I try to eat a good balanced diet, plenty of fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, that's the key, is the fruits and vegetables. That's
this condition, it evolved over a period of several years, and I hadn't had a chance to tell you, but my brother, that's about 4 years younger than me, he's developed it too, a similar condition. He's on one cane, and I'm on two.
Okay. The thing about the autoimmune conditions is, even if you do everything right with the diet and exercise that you can, the best you're probably going to be able to hope for is to keep from getting worse. I don't know that it'll get much better, because a lot of times with nerve fibers, especially if it's affecting your spinal cord, that damage could be permanent. Now, if it's all in your peripheral nerves, just in your feet, then that can recover, but it's not quick. So even if you
why would it cause me to have such poor balance? When I first noticed that I had that balance problem, it was when I would be trying to stand and talk to someone, and I couldn't stand in one place. I was wanting to fall. I was continually having to shuffle my feet in order to be able to stand in one spot, and it just progressively got worse.
Well, we're coming up to a break. That music in the background, that means we're coming up to a break. So I'm going to ask you to hold on through the break, and I'll answer that question. Okay, and we'll get to you as soon as we come back. So hold on, please.
And you can also...
It's like an office visit without the copay. The Painless Living Show.
At 888-440-4442, that is our number, and we're going to go back to Louisiana and Bobby.
Bobby, are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You were asking before the break about why your balance was so affected by the autoimmune condition, and it's got to do with the different types of nerves in the body. If you have something that's dissolving the coating on your nerves and destroying that, the nerves that have that coating are more susceptible, and small nerves are always more susceptible than big nerves. And it just so happens that the smallest nerves in the body that have that coating on it, that myelin coating, are nerves that have that go to your joints to tell you the position of the joint, and they govern a lot about your balance. So that's why that was affected first. All right?
Yes.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. And hope you listen again next week and hope things work out for you. We're going now to, we have Jan calling from Louisville, Kentucky. Jan, you're on the air at the Painless Living Show. How can I help you today?
Hi. I've been having some problems with my the tops of my hands and the tops of my feet and my forearms under at the bottom, underneath, not on top. And it's been pain that's been gradually coming on more and more and more. And I'm not really sure what it is. The doctors I've spoken to sort of shrug and say it's probably arthritis.
Well, it's on both hands and both forearms and the tops of both feet?
Yes.
Have you had a neck injury at any time?
A long time ago I did.
Because that would be real high on the list as something that could cause a mystery pain that's symmetrical that involves all four extremities.
Okay.
And so what I would recommend is to ask your doctor to order an MRI of your neck or x-rays with flexion and extension views. Now, the x-rays may not show anything by themselves, but the flexion and extension views has you bend your neck forward and backward in front of the x-ray camera, and it'll tell if there's abnormal movement of any of the bones in your neck. You can also have that done in your low back. And it's that abnormal movement that may be tapping some of the nerves and causing the irritation that ends up giving you the pain on the backs of your hands and the forearms.
Okay.
The thing is, that's a pretty good indication of where the nerve is. My guess is that it's your C5-6 disc, which is the disc just below the middle of your neck, just below, I guess, where your windpipe starts up in your neck.
Right.
You can probably feel that. So that disc there is where the nerves come out that go to both forearms and hands. And then if that's also pushing on your spinal cord, it could cause the same thing to happen down on the tops of your feet.
Okay.
So I'm not necessarily saying that that's what's causing it, but that would be at the top of my list. And that's the first thing to look for.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Okay, Jan. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. And if that works out for you, call back and let us know. If that doesn't work, call back and we'll come up with number two on the list.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right, Jan. Thank you. And we have another caller. Okay, this is Butch calling from Monroe, Louisiana. Butch, you're on the air at the Painless Living Show. How can I help you today? Hello, Butch. Are you with me?
Yes. I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you first.
Okay. How can I help you today?
The gentleman that called from Monroe references the problem in his legs, the stumbling and the numbness and what have you.
Yes, I recall.
I just wanted to ask you, could he possibly have a case of Charcot-Marie-Tooth syndrome?
Well, there's a lot of things that are possible, but I think what he has is an autoimmune condition that dissolves the coating, the sheath, like the insulation on the wires that go on his nerves.
Well,
and the longer nerves are the ones most affected. That's why it's affecting his legs and feet.
Charcot-Marie-Tooth is a demyelinating neuropathy.
Yes.
And it usually characterizes itself with numbness and stumbling. And that's kind of what his chief complaint seemed to be.
Yes, that could be.
And so, I mean, it's such a rare diagnosis, I was just curious if maybe nobody thought about it.
Well, you know, I can't speak for him or his doctors. He did say that he went to the Sims Murphy Clinic, which is a clinic in Memphis that specializes in neurological and neurosurgical disorders. And they made the diagnosis. What he told us on the air was that it was an autoimmune condition. He didn't specify a particular type of autoimmunity like the Charcot-Marie tooth.
Right.
So, you know, I didn't drill down onto that. But, yes, it could be that, or it could be something else. It could be due to some toxin that he was exposed to, maybe an industrial exposure or something like that. There's a lot of things that can start an autoimmune condition.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I just wanted to ask that question. And I had a patient one time that had the neurologist confused for quite a while, and they finally came up with their diagnosis, and that answered all their questions.
Yeah, it definitely answers the questions to cause. Now, are you a physician, Butch?
No, I'm a registered respiratory therapist.
Okay.
And for about 30-something years, and I had a patient one time on a ventilator, not related to that, but on... that was one of his medical problems.
All right.
And so I, of course, did some research at that time to learn more about it. And usually it doesn't get any worse than just needing some leg braces. But it's somewhat similar to Guillain-Barré and what have you, except it just doesn't progress up further than the legs.
Right. And, of course, we don't know in our previous caller whether it's progressing up, but he does say it's getting worse as time goes on.
Right.
So anyway, Butch, I want to thank you for your input. I appreciate that, as do I'm sure most of our other listeners. And thank you for listening, and thank you for calling.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. See? It's not just it's everybody who hangs on your every word, doctor. You're listening all over the place.
Well, if we can help somebody, you know, that's fine. Help them get a better diagnosis, better treatment, or just to answer questions that are stewing in their mind about why is this the way it is?
Right. And those questions can be asked and answered on a weekly basis directly by Dr. Cassaro here at 888-440-4442.
We may have time for one quick caller before the end of the show. So if you've got chronic pain of any source, and you want help to get out of pain starting today, give us a call at 888-440-4442, and we'll try to get you in before the end of the show.
Up to and including the time that someone calls before the show's end this morning, let me ask you a quick question again. Going back to the diabetes and the pain that are not caused necessarily by, but exist because of, we'll put it that way. What about like compression footwear and the socks and the things that you see advertised on TV for relief of minor pains and aches and things that are associated with that? Is that something worth pursuing?
Yes. In fact, what I'll say is if you've got achy feet and you've got swelling, buy yourself some compression socks. Wear them. They don't usually have to be the high compression socks. They can be the low compression. What that does, or first let me talk about why your feet ache. The nerves to your feet, to your skin, start deep inside your foot. And then you've got, they have to travel the distance out to the skin to give you feeling on the surface.
Right.
When you get swelling, it stretches those nerves. Nerves don't like to be stretched. It makes them irritable.
And
when they're irritable,
they
hurt. So that's why people who have problems with swelling in their feet also frequently have problems with aching feet. So if you wear the compression socks, what that does is it keeps the swelling from accumulating, so you're not stretching those nerves, and you don't get the added pain
and the irritation
from that stretching.
Exactly. 888-440-4442. Number here, Painless Living.
Okay, we're going to go to Patricia calling from Louisville, Kentucky. Patricia, you're on the air. We've got just about a minute. What can I do to help you?
Well, about 4 weeks ago, I developed pain in my ankle. I've had laminectomies on 4 discs in my neck. I didn't do anything to pull my back out, and it just seems to be getting worse.
Okay.
I'm not diabetic. I'm not anything like that.
I'd say it probably has a lot to do with what was going on in your neck even before you had the surgery there. But we're at the end of the show. That music in the background means we're coming to a close, so I'm going to ask you to go to our website at painlessliving.com, use the contact form there, and send me an email with more information in it, and I'll try to get you back a more specific answer.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling, Patricia.
And that'll do it for another week.
Yes, I'm your host, Dr. Michael Cassaro.
And I'm John Ashton. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
We'll be here next week. We hope you are, too.